Okay, welcome everybody to our call today called The Confident Creative. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure having you on the call today. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Kat Bennett. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first PeopleYouShouldMeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Kat a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through our site by you, our listeners. I'm personally very excited about the whole topic or subject matter of creativity. It's a subject that's very dear to my heart. I guess the mid part of my life really disconnected from my creativity, and it's something that I've only really just started exploring over the last 7 or so years of my life fully for myself. And it's certainly been wonderful to reconnect with that childlike creative innocence that I came through with. And it's very, very exciting to actually be exploring that whole notion as well on the call today. Now, I first came across Kat through Sue Blake, who runs a company in the UK called Sue Blake PR. So I just wanted to thank you for making the introduction and making this call possible. Now, Kat Bennett is an artist who has exhibited in Boston, New York, Montreal and Tokyo. She has been also a professional illustrator for more than 25 years. She lives in Boston and teaches drawing as a way to meet the true creative self within. So I'm very excited about this call, and I'm very excited to have you on the program to join us. Kat, welcome.
Thank you so much, Damien. I'm excited to be here too.
Great. Now, I thought I'd actually just kick off at the very top. I guess one thing that I'm holding in my hand right now is the book, The Confident Creative. And I just to give listeners a feel, it's one of the most beautiful books I've ever picked up. The texture and the matte finish on the cover is absolutely stunning, and it's beautifully illustrated all the way through. And I'm personally actually just working through it and found it really uplifting and inspiring. And I just thought I'd actually just kick it off and just ask, you know, what is the Confident Creative?
Well, thank you, first of all, for those kind comments about the book. We've got about 20 different artists in the book, so it's really been a pleasure to put them in there and to show all different kinds of ways of being creative visually. The book is really about creativity, and I'm really trying to say that we can use drawing as a way to access or connect with our true creative selves. A lot of people think that they can't draw, but it's not true. You don't need a special talent. Everybody can draw. And when we were kids, everybody drew, and kids never say, if you hand them crayons, that I can't draw. They just dive right in and go crazy. Mm. So, you know, everybody has that ability, and what we lose it on the way to adulthood, partly because of our schooling. I think we're always judged and evaluated, and there's no real emphasis on creative expression in school. So we start to shut down, I think. And I'm trying to show in the book that drawing is a way that we can reactivate our creative energy and connect with our true creative selves again. So that's really what the book is about.
Mm. Now, I guess for people that are living lives, whether they're running businesses or showing up in the office or even just exploring other creative art forms rather than the visual arts, like can drawing actually open new pathways to being more creatively expressed in the world for even those people?
Absolutely. I mean, because a lot of what drawing can teach us is who we are and how we approach things. The way that we approach something as simple as drawing can also be the way that we approach life. Mm. So in drawing, what happens is that we get out of our usual thought patterns. Our left brain is, which is in our left brain, we get out of that verbal linear brain and into our right brain, which is our creative imaginative brain. And that's a much more peaceful, open space to be in. And we start to notice our thoughts and the things that, how we habitually approach things. Mm. So if, for instance, we start to draw and we say, this is hard, I give up, then we can start to look at our lives and say, how often do I say about something in my work life that this is hard, I give up? How much is that a habit that we carry with us? So we really can start to notice these things and use drawing as a tool to know ourselves and to free ourselves from these old habits.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful. Now, I know you've actually didn't mention in the introduction, but you run a creative drawing class in Boston called the Saturday Morning Drawing Club. It sounds like a fascinating way to spend a Saturday morning. And I was just wondering if you could actually share with listeners the whole ethos of the drawing club and how it helped to birth this work as well.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to. I had never taught drawing before. In fact, I've never been to art school, so I'm a completely self-taught artist, even though I've made my living at art since I was 21. But I didn't know really how to approach a drawing class. And my real reason for wanting to teach was that I had stumbled on the idea, really, that drawing could be a practice like yoga, where we really learn to observe ourselves and see where we are and free ourselves from limitations. So when I was invited to teach this drawing class, I wondered if I could teach it that way, rather than teaching people particular skills that will make a beautiful finished product, let's say. Even though we do focus on skills in the class, we really focus on what is our mental attitude to the work that we're doing. So we do, and we start off, when I first started to teach, one of the students that came to my class was a former special education teacher. And she had this deep longing to get back to her creative self and to do some drawing, and she thought maybe drawing would open that up. But she was very nervous, actually. She, even though she was extremely accomplished in her regular work life, she was very nervous about something as simple as drawing. So we started off, I felt sorry for her, I felt badly, and so I said, okay, let's just scribble. Everybody can scribble, right? But they were really nervous about scribbling, because what if their scribbling wasn't right? And that, all of that sort of sense of evaluation is so deeply ingrained in all of us. So I put a huge piece of paper up on the wall, and we all scribbled on it together, like paper that was 5 feet by 10 feet. So it was like very public. So we it took a lot of courage for people to first step up and just give it a whirl. But you know, as we all did it, you know, suddenly we got really free, and it was like, oh, what the heck? Let me just make all kinds of marks here and go wild, you know. And that's, once you connect with that energy again, it's like, oh, it's like, there you are, there you are again, you know. And you can just start bringing that sense of playfulness and fun and exploration into everything. So that's how we get going, and then we work on other things.
That's wonderful. I love what you shared there about this whole notion of deep longing. I've personally gone through a process of just exploring one of my own deep longings in the realm of the arts. And as a child, I had this teenage fantasy or childhood fantasy of actually going to Hollywood and becoming an unemployed actor. And
or a highly paid one. Even better. Why limit ourselves?
Yeah, exactly. And it's only in the last few weeks that I've finally arrived in Hollywood and actually taking an acting class. And it's actually not even the acting class itself. It's just being in the space of allowing this longing to be acknowledged and recognized as something that's truly beautiful about the human experience. And I just loved how you shared the lady's story of a deep longing. And is that deep longing something you see consistently with all the students that come to your work?
I think I see it with all the students, but also with everybody. Everybody has a deep longing. You know, I have one. You know, and you know, it's our longing to communicate and to matter and to share ourselves. And I think we all have it, and we can express it in different ways. But and when we feel the longing, why not just act on it? Why not find a way to try to explore that and see where it goes? You know, we don't need to all be movie stars. We can find, you know, all kinds of ways. But why not explore doing art, doing acting, doing music? You know, these wonderful sort of poetic ways of expressing ourselves are so important in terms of just refining who we are and experiencing beautiful things in life. So I think it's all for the good.
Excellent. Now, I guess another thing that intrigues me about the creative process or these creative impulses is people who notice the urge, but then they actually don't act it out for whatever reason. And I was just wondering if you had some insights in for people who would really love to act it out, but for whatever reason haven't moved into the space where they feel like they can act it out. Do you have any insights on how people can step into that space?
Yes, I think, you know, oftentimes, you know, we feel these urges. I know one of your listeners wrote in to say that she goes to art exhibits and comes home and feels this, you know, powerful urge to express herself visually, but then gets stuck. And I think that oftentimes we get stuck because of our thoughts and what we tell ourselves. We say we're not experienced enough, or we don't have any great talent, or, you know, Picasso was so much better than us, et cetera.
You know, could be a common one.
Or, I'll never be a movie star like Brad Pitt,
Yeah.
So we say, may as well just give up and put my head in the sand. Just wait this life out. But, you know, I think we should just go for it. What the heck, you know? And because it's so satisfying and it's so much fun, and why should we give power to these negative thoughts? You know, yoga teaches replace all negative thoughts with positive thoughts. And I think it's just one of the best pieces of advice any of us can have. So just, I would say to people that feel blocked, please notice your thoughts and replace them with the positive thoughts. You know that Nike ad? Just do it, you know. It's that beautiful, just seize that moment and act immediately when you feel inspired to do something. The longer we hesitate, the more resistance we build up, you know. So really great just to dive right in and start where you are. Appreciate yourself where you are. You know, we're all beginners, so it's just fine to be a beginner.
That's nice. I like that. We're all beginners.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, I know also for, I guess with the path of the artist, there are times of great flow and times of feeling stuck. And I guess the common term of writer's block, where even very seasoned writers actually find themselves pressed up against the glass or looking at a wall that they feel like they can't overcome. And I was just wondering for people who have been creating quite a while, what tips would you give to them, and maybe some personal insights as well, if you've come up against that on your own creative journey of how to keep moving forward, how to keep expressing, and how to keep navigating back to that real sense of flow as an artist?
You know, I think it's true that all of us as artists and writers and creative people do come, you know, to that wall, or we thought we knew what we were doing. It went nowhere. You pursue it. It doesn't seem to go anywhere. And, you know, I think in my personal experience that it is sometimes where I am trying to control the process and you know, I've got this idea and I've attached to it and I'm going to make it happen or whatever. And sometimes I think we just need to, like, let it go. And, you know, if we have something on paper, we'll rip it up and just let it go and become open and childlike again. You know, new ideas will come. New things will come. Sometimes we do go down a path that doesn't take us where we think it might take us. It's an exploration, and I think we can honor it as that and just, you know, thank ourselves for making that exploration. You know, in my life, I've written 3 novels. None of them have been published. None of them have gone anywhere. And yet, you know, I can look at that and say, I don't think I wasted my time, you know. It was good. I learned so much about myself, about writing, about communicating. And, you know, I may or may not go back to that form. I'm just staying open to what inspiration comes to me, you know. But, you know, when I was younger, I would, like, attach, this is going to happen. So now I'm like, okay, I'm just doing, I'm just seeing what, you know, I put it out, see what happens. And, you know, just trust the process and, you know, try to keep in that really beautiful, positive space, you know, because I think that really helps the work. And it, again, it's like you can use drawing as a tool to get out of your worrying mind about it and just, you know, into, again, that right brain flowing mind, just as a tool to relax and meditate, really, and see what else comes through for you.
That's beautiful. Now, I'd love to also know a little bit more, Kat, about your own journey of not actually going to art school and just just becoming an illustrator just on your own back, I guess, or on your own right. Now, that process, I guess, for most people that go through that process of shutting down and then reopening, was your creative channel always open, and was it something that you knew from a very early age that you were going to illustrate and draw and live a creative life?
Well, I suppose in some ways I did. I always loved writing and I always loved drawing. I could never choose between the two. So I, first of all, I studied art history at university and literature. So I thought, oh, I've got all the bases covered there. And then I decided I would be an animation filmmaker. And because I thought I can write things and I can, you know, draw them and make them move and so on. And I just set my mind on working at the National Film Board of Canada in Montreal. I'm from Canada originally. And as far as I was concerned, I knew nothing about manifestation in those days. I just was like a complete kid, totally naive, but I was fixated. I knew I was going to work there. I had no doubt about it.
Right.
And I was just going to work there. And I went and they said, I'm sorry, we have no work. And I was like so disappointed. He said, well, you could call back in, you know, a month or something. Anyway, I started to call every week. Finally, just got tired and said, okay, come on in. So that's how I started. And then I was drawing every day there as a film animator and so on. And then I realized actually that animation was far too slow a process for me.
Right.
And it wasn't wordy enough. And so I decided to leave, and I got married and moved to an American at the time and came down to the United States and said, I'll just be an illustrator and freelance. And I did a lot of freelance animation for a while as well, but then I segued into just doing illustration for, like, newspapers and magazines and children's things and things like that.
Fantastic. Now,
so it just came trial and error, basically,
yeah.
You know. You throw yourself out there, and then some people say, you know, oh, I think you could do this or do that, and I go home and work more on it and try to improve and go back out, and, you know. But I got work right away, so it was good, and, you know, just an onward journey of exploration.
It seems like a very deep spiritual practice as well of being in the moment and being very present to life and looking for opportunities as they arise.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't, you know, I was young and I wasn't really aware of those dimensions at the time, but you know, maybe I was young enough to still be connected in, on some level to that that way of being and living. And you know, later I think I got a little more, you know, controlling, and this is going to come from me. And you know, of course, that's when it got tough.
Yeah. Great. Now I'm also really fascinated, Kat, about the like some of the stories of the people that come to your classes, and I was just wondering if you could share some other just notable people that have come into that space and really opened up to themselves in a much deeper way.
Okay, yeah, there's two students in particular I'd like to chat about, and the one is the one I mentioned earlier, who was a special education teacher who was very nervous. And for the first 2 years that she was in the class, she was so nervous that she had a very wiggly line. No matter what she drew, she had a very wiggly line. I thought it was just her style, but later she told me that her legs were shaking. She was still so nervous about it. So she has a good sense of humor about it. But she went on, and she hated to do faces. She got very comfortable drawing from nature and plants and landscape and that sort of thing. But she really hated to do faces. She just somehow thought that was too daunting. And again, it's that whole thing is like we would draw each other. Is it going to look like the other person, or is it just going to look like a kid's drawing or whatever? People were very daunted by this. So we kept persevering. We drew a lot from photographs, and you know, gradually she really began to do these wonderful drawings. And all the while, she had been a person who enjoyed doing needlework and doing all kinds of elaborate embroidery and just wonderful things. And she started to stitch these drawings that she did in class, and everybody loved them. And so the long story short is that she ended up with this other student. They had a dual show in huge art center where I work and have my studio. And it virtually sold out. The other student, too, came saying, oh, I can't draw. I'm just really here for fun and so on. And, you know, she developed such an original style, and she also did her drawings in stitchery. So they had a joint show, and they just completely sold out. It was amazing. It was just a beautiful, beautiful show.
Wow.
Basically because their work was so unique and so them. And so that's why I don't care whether people draw like Leonardo. I just want people to draw like themselves.
Wow, that's absolutely beautiful. I think the journey of actually navigating back to the self through the creative process is certainly a fascinating one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it is a journey. I think it's a journey for everybody. And it's, you know, I think the more we affirm ourselves in whatever creative work we're doing, you know, you can go to sort of writing groups or whatever. And people, I remember going to a writing class once, and there were like 20 people in this class, and the teacher said, asked somebody to read their work, and then said, and then could we each go around and each of us find out what's wrong with this person's work? And 20 people went around the room and said, I didn't like this about this person's work.
Right.
I didn't like that. And I'm like, okay, I love this. You know, I mean, that's just, it's so destructive for the creative process. You know, I think what we need to do is look for our strengths and just build on our strengths. You know, that's the way to get free and to grow. So that's what we try to do. And that's how we end up with work that's really beautiful and original, because people come to their authentic selves and come to appreciate that.
That's beautiful. Now, Kat, I mentioned that we've had questions come in from people around the world, and I just thought I'd actually kick off with some of those questions now.
Okay.
And this one is from Anne, who is in the United Kingdom, and Anne asks, I paint and I am writing a children's book for 10-year-olds. I enjoy my creativity so much, and I know it is not just a, for me, but a gift for others. Part of me wants to live a quiet life and is scared of getting in the public eye and doubts the value of my work. Part of me feels that I can only express myself fully through getting my work out there and desires this as well. Have you any tips on how to unite these two parts of me and market my work?
Well, you know, first of all, Anne, I think it's wonderful that you're doing this work and expressing yourself. And, you know, I think the real focus really should just be on the work that you're doing and really appreciating that work. And, you know, when you feel the work is ready to go into the world, then to send it into the world, you know, with a happy heart and know that this work that you're doing, you know, is in service to others, to share something of yourself with them, you know. And what happens after that, you know, we never know. You know, sometimes our work is greeted immediately with, you know, a happy welcome, and sometimes, you know, it goes to people that may not appreciate it right away. So, you know, that's where the fear comes, because, you know, we're afraid to be rejected. But, you know, as a person who's been selling herself for so long, believe me, we are all rejected. So if that's some small comfort, you know, the thing is, you know, when I used to go out and sell my artwork and was, you know, would be rejected sometimes, I would always, you know, come home afterwards. Sometimes I would feel pretty sad. But then I would try to look, well, you know, was the person's interest who was rejecting me, you know, and maybe their perspective was a little different than mine. Mm. Or then I would say, did they have something of value to say about my work? You know, just because somebody says something that, you know, maybe somebody said, I don't think your work is right for this publication. Mm. Well, that might be a very valid comment. And then I would have to go, okay, well, maybe I don't need to be in that publication, or maybe I can develop my work in a way that it would also suit that publication, you know, depending on what my true interests are. Mm. So, you know, there are ways to deal with disappointments and rejection should they arise, you know. I think they come to all of us because I think they're meant to be a bit of a test, you know, like, will you still persevere, you know? And I hope that everybody does persevere in doing what they love and sharing themselves, you know.
Mm. Mm. One of my favorite stories on the artistic process was about Van Gogh. And from reports that I've heard, like, he never sold a painting his entire life.
Right.
And I've always just tuned into that creative being just cranking out masterpiece after masterpiece after masterpiece.
I know.
And,
I mean,
and not receiving the recognition, like, in his lifetime.
Yeah, and you know, I think he struggled with that. He
yeah.
struggled against the disappointment of being rejected, you know. Yeah. But he didn't give up. And had he given up, I mean, his work is so powerful and moving, you know, when you're right there with it in person. And imagine if we wouldn't have had that work because he got discouraged and just gave up.
Mm.
So we can't give the power to the people who are judging. We just need to keep going and then stay true to ourselves, you know.
Mm. Absolutely. Awesome. Okay, this one comes from Alana. And Alana asks, in reading on what we will learn on this call, the second point on how to identify and clear obstacles of the mind that inhibit you from acting out your creative urges hit home for me. This has been a lifelong problem. I have been in the situation where I come home from an art exhibit and feel it in my hands to create. It kind of surges through me, and yet I get home and I do nothing. It's like there's a barrier of fear. And I've left my job over a year ago, and I've been trying to build my one-woman creative business out of my jewellery making and on occasion my graphic design. I've not been able to sustain myself financially and I feel I'm about to give up. Is there any advice you can give me to help me with this wall I face with my creative work?
Well, I think I mentioned, I was touched by Alana's question when I read it earlier, and I think it's something that's, you know, a common to the creative journey and not something that she should feel is particular to her. I think we all face, you know, those moments of uncertainty and, you know, especially when we're connecting it to our livelihood, you know. And again, I think what's so important is to, you know, find some support and find fellow travelers and share the journey a little bit, you know, so you can nudge each other forward and get some sustenance from each other. It can be, you know, a hard road sometimes, but it gets easier when we can continue to work, I think, in being in a very positive place and keeping our energy very positive. You know, you want to put together, you know, a portfolio of your work that you feel really good about and that you feel is, you know, very authentic to you. And then just believe in it. And it, like the story I told about when I was so young and got that job, I really wanted, just really want to really believe in yourself and keep going. You know, I like that thing where Winston Churchill said, never, ever, ever, ever give up, you know. Just stay true to what you want and believe is your true calling, and things will begin to shift and happen. And I do believe in my own life, it's been very important to learn to keep my energy and myself very positive, because I think when we get into the worrying, then things start to shut down in ourselves and we're not attracting other, you know, bright, positive things into our lives. So this is where drawing can be very helpful as a practice, because it's like meditation. It's a very joyful thing to do. And in the book, I talk about lots of different ways that we can draw and recreate that sense of childish wonder and joy in our lives just through a simple practice of 15, 20 minutes, half an hour of drawing a day. You know, it just clears the decks of those worrying thoughts and can bring us to a very beautiful, positive space. So I would recommend that as a way, you know, to keep balanced as you overcome the hurdles of the marketplace, which are there for all of us.
I remember when I was in growing up in my teens, I'd made a decision in my mind that I didn't want to be a struggling artist. And it was quite interesting. I was just processing that memory out a little while ago in a session, and it was just fascinating to see some of these decisions that shut down the instrument. And I guess turning the clock forward in my career, like instead of being a struggling artist, I ended up being a very unhappy artist working in banking. And I guess, like, with the passage of time, it's actually just seen clearly. Like, it's much better to actually really express what we're here to express and live true and in alignment with our nature than it is to really be a poor version of trying to be someone else.
Yeah, I truly do think so. Believe me, Damien, there were times I thought, could I go into banking? Is it possible? When the road got hard, would they have me? And I think once in my life I went out and tried to, like, get one of those kinds of jobs. But, of course, what happened was hilarious, because what they said to me was, oh, I wish I had your life. And the really funny thing is, this is, I think, hysterical, but I didn't go to art school because I said to myself, like you, Damien, I don't want to go to art school because I don't want to be a struggling artist and having to flog myself as an artist my whole life.
Yeah.
And so what have I done? flaunt myself as an artist my whole life without the benefit of having gone to art school.
Yeah,
so you can only be who you are, right? I mean,
that's really true. Cool. Okay. Now you also mentioned it's a point I wanted to pick up on as well, Kat. The drawing techniques in the book. You've got some wonderful processes in there for guiding people through reconnecting with that the beauty of the drawing process. And I was just wondering if you had some of your favourite techniques you'd actually like to share with people as well that really open you up to deeper levels of creativity.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're new to drawing or if you haven't done it since you were a kid, it's really great to begin just scribbling, you know, and get some big, nice big paper. You can get nice big newsprint paper for a big, huge pad of it for about $5 in any art store. And it's really just a great way to get free, to start to explore. It's just called making marks, just all kinds of different marks. And explore what's possible. And those marks are things that you'll bring into other kinds of drawing when you start drawing what you see. And then when, you know, you feel comfortable with that, you can start. There's a lot of exercises in the book about drawing what you see. And I think a really fun thing to do is to take a picture, maybe a photograph of somebody's face, turn it upside down and draw it upside down.
Mm.
And this is really, you know, fun because when we start thinking too much about, oh, I've got to get that looking just right or whatever, we start to inhibit ourselves a lot and we start getting our mind in the way. But if we just stay present and really just stay focused on what we're looking at, and they're just lines, and we'd start looking at the lines and the spaces and trying to relate them, usually when we turn the drawing right side up, we go, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Really more accurate than if we did it right side up. So it's a really fun way to learn to focus and to really pay attention to what's there without thinking.
Mm.
Which is a good part of the training.
Mm. Actually, like a really nice metaphor for problem solving in life as well. Like often just sitting and looking at something the right way up can actually, like, doesn't really give the brain a chance to move or in a new way or into a new groove. And just by looking at a problem in life from completely the topsy-turvy other end of the spectrum can actually provide really profound insights as well.
Yeah, exactly, definitely.
Mm, awesome.
Yeah.
Great, I'm going to ask a question from Julie now, who's in the UK. And Julie asks, I long to break out of working in law. I've been a legal PA for 20 years and it provides no interest, stimulation, challenge or satisfaction and is totally unrewarding. I don't have the finances to retrain or go back to college, which I would love to do, but really wish to find a far more rewarding and sociable career working with people, working from home, maybe more creative. I need fresh challenges and seek a more rewarding path. I'm a bit lost and unsure where to start, and it's so difficult when money is an issue too. Any ideas, inspiration or contacts, very welcome. I'm based in the UK. Cool.
Okay. I think, Damien, you could probably relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't enjoy your banking job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I was just fortunate that I just kept getting fired, so I always had the opportunity to reconsider my options.
You were very lucky. That's great. Well, obviously, Julie has not had that good fortune. So. But Julie, truly, I would really just say you are feeling this longing. What I heard in that was, that you have a longing to work with people, and maybe what you're doing right now is working with, you know, information or whatever, and that, you know, you want to work maybe with people and to do something more creative. And it's a daunting thing to go back to university, and not to mention hugely expensive, at least in the United States, and I imagine in the UK as well. But, you know, there's nothing to stop any of us from beginning with a class at an adult education center or anywhere. And, you know, these are often much less expensive, and there's no great commitment in terms of 5 years of your life or whatever. But just that first step, you're being called. You want to do something more creative. So take a first step, I would say, in the direction of what calls you. And, you know, take a class, meet other people, you know, join in, and just take the first tentative steps in the direction of whatever is calling you. It may not be the thing you end up doing, but it will, you know, every step we take is, you know, opening up the door to our journey. And I think that when you do that, you're going to get a lot more clarity and get ideas. And we get ideas from other people as well. So I think that that would be a really good thing to do. It's probably what I would do in that situation.
Mm-hmm. And you brought up a very good point there, Kat, getting ideas from other people. And I was just wondering, in terms of your own creative process, what are the sort of things that you like to expose yourself in order to fuel your own creative fire?
Well, I love to go to art museums and see art. I love to read, and I love to talk to fellow artists, you know, and just share what we're doing. Artists or writers, just share our work. Talk, you know, I love to talk and share ideas. And, you know, I like to read on the internet, the Huffington Post, all kinds of things like that, you know. I mean, everything, once you get tuned into your own creative work, everything is inspiration, really. Just to walk down the street is inspiration. But, you know, I like to go out, I love to hear music, you know. I like to be around other creative energy. Because no matter what it is, it fuels, it's just energy, isn't it? And it just sort of sparks your own energy. So if you go out and hear a great night of music, it's like, wow, you just come home full of energy and, you know, ready to go the next day. So I just like to expose myself to other creative work, you know, whatever it is.
Interesting. And another area of curiosity for me is the group process, and I guess as artists, like we can spend a lot of time in isolation working on our own projects and trying to pull them together. And I was just wondering if you could share some insights on to how it's important to also be in a group creative space. And I guess with the Saturday morning drawing club, like just being in that group space can actually ignite a whole, I guess, world of possibility that isn't really available when you're just working alone.
Yeah, and, you know, all the creative work that I do is solitary. You know, I have to spend hours and hours, you know, working on my own work. I happen to be very happy with that, but, you know, I'm also kind of an extroverting person. So I need to balance that with people. For me, the Saturday Morning Drawing Club has been an absolute fabulous gift, you know, and anybody, any of your listeners out there can start their own club. You know, in my book has all kinds of ideas for things that you can do drawing together, and it's such a fantastic thing to do with other people because it gives you all a chance to affirm each other wherever you are and to work together, share ideas, bring in work that you've done on your own and share it. And always sharing in the spirit of, you know, appreciation and affirmation. It just gives you tremendous energy, and it's just a great thing to do, you know.
Wonderful. And this is a specific question to the artistic process from Marina in the UK. And Marina asks, I'd like to develop cartoon drawings. Any suggestions?
Well, I do have a suggestion on that. Having been a film animator and, you know, the old Disney people used to do a lot of life drawing. And they had to go to a life drawing class. This is the early Disney animators in the 30s and so forth. had to go to life drawing classes every day, and that was just so that they would become very comfortable and fluid with form and you know, very practiced at drawing. So I think life drawing classes are really great even for cartooning. But, you know, again, I would just, you know, I love cartoons. That's my real inspiration in art is really the graphic art. I love the old cartoons and new graphic novels and, you know, stuff like that. It's just there's so much great creativity out there in that field right now. And, you know, for whatever I do, I always study what other people are doing, too, because it's so rich with ideas and, you know, and just keep going and start to notice what your own style and interests are and grow your own style.
Awesome. Now, for people who, I guess, in terms of opportunities for creatives, I guess you would have seen a lot in the last 25 years through your creative work. And I was just wondering, like, do you feel that the opportunities available to creatives are expanding in our modern world?
I think, you know, in the time that I've been doing this, in my work experience, it's changed quite a bit because of the internet. And I think that some opportunities have probably closed down. For instance, I used to do a huge amount of work for newspapers, but now newspapers are in trouble, you know, so that changes over time. And I think as artists and creative people, we need to be very aware of the world and very responsive to what is going on. You almost have to be, as a creative person, you know, very much in sync with the world and noticing what's going on. And there's always new opportunities when some close down, but you can't focus on the ones that are closing down. You've got to be able to shift gears and say, okay, you know, let me try this, you know, and be creative about it, actually, is what it, you know, it's quite a dance, I must say.
Yeah, it's something that certainly has driven my own creative process is the quote that every exit is an entry to somewhere else. And I guess just seeing the creative possibilities that are literally just a step in front of our seemingly shutting of a door. Like there's a whole world opening up at the same time.
Yeah. There's a whole new world of digital exploration, you know, working up, opening up in the art world and, you know, just so many different ways to express ourselves visually and creatively. But they may be different than they were 20 years ago or 40 years ago or even 5 years ago. Our world is changing fairly rapidly. So, you know, just, I think, keep your eyes open and keep involved in the world and seeing what other people are doing.
I guess one of my favorite examples of using the new medium for creativity was a guy called Noah Kalina, who was a photographer, and as a creative project, he took a photograph of himself every day for, I think it was 5 years, and literally assembled them all into a high-speed like a picture show or slideshow that probably took about 5 minutes to run through. And it's been watched millions and millions and millions of times on YouTube. And I guess before having that as a modality, like I guess a lot of art forms may have never seen the light of day, and say the person fascinating with their own facial features and taking photographs over that over a period of 5 years may not have got a lot of exposure, but then with these new tools for sharing and allowing other people to become involved in our creative process, like it's really swept the world, and millions of people have had the opportunity to really connect with that work, and it's phenomenal.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, YouTube and things like Flickr, where people are putting their work up, and you know, just wonderful things that you can find out there. And, you know, you don't know what happens when you start putting things out into the world, you know, who contacts you, and things shift and change. It's really quite exciting.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, okay, we're literally coming to the end of our hour, and I just wanted to share that I've just had a delightful last 50 minutes chatting with you, and it's certainly fueled my own creative process, and I actually have those tingles moving up and down my hands.
Oh, that's great.
Where's my pencil? Okay, looking for my sharpener as we speak. But I've thoroughly enjoyed just meeting with you and certainly reading
Likewise,
your book.
Likewise, it's been really fun chatting.
Yeah, and I have no doubt at all that the people that are listening at home will want to find out more about your work, and I know you have some exciting workshops coming up as well, and I'm just wondering if you could actually share with people, first of all, how they can connect with you and stay in touch, and also about your upcoming workshop.
Okay. Well, I am doing a workshop in London on September 25th and 26th. It's a weekend, and it's going to be at Dragon Hall in Covent Garden, and we're going to explore drawing and the creative process together, all the things that we've talked about here today. We're going to have the actual experience of doing, and there's nothing like actually doing to make things really real for you. So I'm really excited about that, and you can find out about that at www.theconfidentcreative.com. And I also have a blog, which is www.catbennett.net.
Great. So it's a two-day workshop, the London
yes.
one. And what sort of terrain will you be covering? Will it be like an extended version of the Saturday morning drawing club, or what can people expect?
Well, we're going to be using drawing to explore the creative process, and that is, you know, having experiences of working big. You know, when you have that experience of drawing big and working big, then you can internalize what that feels like in terms of going into whatever other creative work you do. Because oftentimes we work, you know, too small and trying to get it perfect. So we're going to be doing a lot of exercises, you know, to go to the edge and you know, make a mess and do things like that. A lot of things that we do in the Saturday Morning Drawing Club. So we're going to use this time to try to connect with our true creative selves by learning, you know, to get into that right brain imaginative space through the practice of drawing. And I'll be teaching people how to make it a practice and make use of it on a regular basis once they go home again, too.
Mm, wonderful. And another website I'd love you to share is the website for your own art, because you've got some phenomenal works on there.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much.
Certainly want you to share that.
Yeah, that's www.catbennettart.com. So I've got those three websites going.
Yeah. And so with your own, maybe if you could give people an introduction to your own art as well.
Well, a lot of I haven't got my illustration work up on my art site, actually, because I'm not doing as much of that anymore, but the stuff that's on my art site is a lot of the art that I'm doing now, which I show in different places, and a lot of my work has got words in it, and it's I like to think of them as I make paintings that are like little advertisements for the good life, you know, so things like, you know, one of them is peace tea, you know, and memory tablets, you know, forget everything, be in the now, you know, different things like that. So, you know, I've got a lot of those things up there on the site, and I hope people enjoy them.
Yeah, excellent. And also wanted to ask you about exhibiting around the world. Like, where's been your favorite place on planet Earth to actually share and exhibit your artwork?
Well, you know, most of my work has gone out through media, so that's mostly what I've done in my life. But I was in an exhibit in Japan of American illustrators, and I didn't get to go, but my work got to go. So that was kind of fun, and I got a video of it and everything.
Yeah.
And but mostly it's, you know, most of the work that I'm showing now is here in Boston, and most of my work goes out through publications, basically.
Mm. Yeah. It's fascinating, actually. Look, some of the paintings that I've bought in the past, like, I've always been curious about the artist birthing the work and then the art form itself having its own journey.
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful movie actually called The Red Violin, where it was the first movie or full-length feature film that actually tracked the central character as an inanimate object, and it just showed the red violin just being passed through the different centuries. And so there's something quite amazing about the fact that your art has a life of its own, and it just decided to go to Japan and reveal itself there. It's
been farther around the world than I have. Sometimes, you miss it. And I know a lot of artists say this too, that they miss a piece that they've done, and it's gone off into the world, and it lives with somebody else now. But
yeah.
That's really the point of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Amazing. Well, we're coming to the end of our call, Kat, and I just wondered if you had any final words of insight or inspiration that you'd like to share with people opening up to their own creative process.
I'd just like to say that everybody is creative, and, drawing is a tool that we can use to really connect us with our true creative selves. It's something that's really fun. It makes you happy, and I think we're here to be happy. So I really encourage people to pick up that pencil and just explore and use it as a tool to really connect with, that free self that you used to know so well as a child. I think it's a great way to do that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kat, for sharing your wisdom. I've really... Yeah, really appreciated it. And thanks for sticking with your own artistic process and just really opening what you've learnt to other people. It's a real blessing to the world.
Thank you so much, Damien. I really, truly enjoyed this talk. It's been just great, and you're just great. So thank you for having me on your program.
My pleasure. And a big thank you to everyone at home. Without your active participation week to week, by signing up for the calls and sending in your questions and also feeding back after the effect as well. It certainly makes this a very rich learning experience, and it's just wonderful that we get to share this with people throughout the world. It's an open forum for people to really connect with who they are and what they stand for in the world, and it's just a very inspiring process for me to facilitate it, and it's just wonderful having you along at home on the journey with us. Now, for those of you who would like to listen to this recording again, we will be making it available for free on the People You Should Meet website. One thing that we've added to the site recently is also the ability to share these recordings freely through your own social networks on websites such as Twitter and Facebook. So if you actually feel that this material could really inspire or brighten the day of a friend, a family member, a loved one, a colleague, by all means do take that step forward and share and distribute this work as widely as you can. It's just through taking small steps forward to guide and assist other people that we can really create a deeply integrated, connected and healthy society. So I do encourage you all to do that. Great, so that brings us to the end of another People You Should Meet call. And thank you once again, Kat, and thank you everyone at home. We look forward to having you on another call soon.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.